Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wanted to take a break from our Colossians study to look at this section of 1 Corinthians because we've had quite a bit going on recently with ministries in the church. We had a really super successful ladies' ministry kickoff, which was great. And, well, I heard it was great. I wasn't actually there because they wouldn't let me go. My wife wouldn't let me go. And they had ice cream and everything. And then the men's ministry had a great kickoff as well. There's some other stuff, good stuff happening. So plus we're having communion tonight. So all these things sort of came together. And with questions that I've been fielding on these things, I just thought it good for us just to consider all of it together. In this section in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read, I think we're going to read through from starting in verse 12, the better part of the chapter. And what this has to do is, if you know this section, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, this section has to do primarily with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, chapter 13 in the middle, we call it the love chapter is what it's often called. You hear it read in weddings very often, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But it's nestled, ensconced between chapter 12 and 14 for a very important reason. Because when Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, they are to be expressed and managed in love. That's the whole point of this whole section. That's how we use our spiritual gifts, not to enhance our pride or to lift ourselves up as the Corinthians were wont to do, but we are to minister one to another in love, and that's why God gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In this section, the latter section of chapter 12, he focuses quite a bit on the church, and it's really relevant to what we've been discussing and what we've been considering. So let me just read this section and then we'll come back and look at particular things here. And I want you to listen to the focus on the church starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, when he's talking about the body, he's talking about the church, right? Because the church is the body of Christ. And I want you to think in terms of the local church. Sure, we can talk about the universal church, but most often in the scriptures, the church is referred to in a local measure, okay? So think of the local church when he's talking about this body. Verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot, for instance, shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, I love this picture. Isn't this great? Doesn't this, who's the little green guy with the one eyeball? Mike Wazowski. Thank you. I always think of Mike Wazowski now when I read this verse. If the whole body were an eye, you would look really creepy like this little creature, right? And Paul is using hyperbole here to make the point. We can't be one big eye. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Every part of the body is caring for every part of the body. Just like your body, you take care of yourself. And that's how the church is. Verse 24. For our comely parts, our lovely parts, have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There's the point. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In these latter verses, we get distracted a lot by words. You know, I know a lot of guys will teach this section, and they get into all the healings and tongues, and it's not about healings, it's not about tongues, it's about gifts. And the fact that God has given gifts to the church, he's using these as examples. Yes, there's all meaning here. And sure, if we want to work through that, we can talk about that and discuss it. But don't miss the forest for the trees. He's talking about the church and how God has given gifts to the church. And the gifts all come through who? You. I would say it this way. You're a gift to the church. And everything you bring to the church is God's provision to the church. That's why this whole consideration of local church becomes really super important. Because if we say, yes, the universal church has everything it needs to be, the church of Christ, the universal church, the body of Christ. Oh, well, great. You know, that's spread across six continents. And so we don't really have access to each other. We're spread a little thin, aren't we? My argument is, even in the local church, this church has everything it needs to succeed as the body of Christ. That's my conviction, and I think we can see this here in this. And I'm going to actually attempt to prove that tonight, so we'll see. Point number one, I want to show you the outline, or at least part of the outline. There's several points here, but the first three, the title of the message, by the way, One Body, the Church. Point number one, he makes the point, the body, look at verse number 12. As the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are one body. And when he's talking about members, this is a grand simile, a grand motif. It's a big illustration. Because we can talk about members like my pancreas, you know, or my elbow, or my knee, all the parts of me. Well, that's what he appears to be using. Eyes and ears and feet and head, right? That's you. And so when you, we were just talking about being joined with the church. When you're joined with the church, it's as if, you know, it's coming into this system that's set up together. And when one hurts, everyone hurts. I have a question. If I stomped on your foot, would you say, that's just my foot. Feet don't matter. No, your whole body would reel in pain. Oh, you know, as you say, Pastor Farley, why'd you step on my foot? You know, but it's the foot. But the hand is, see how the whole body reacts just because one member is hurting. But he's not actually talking about organs and bones and sinews. He's talking about the church. It's one. In verse 12, in the latter part, he says, so also is Christ, which is a really powerful statement when you think about it. Just as your body is unified perfectly, so also is Christ unified. This begins to suggest that the visible presence of Christ is primarily through the church. Folks, people see Christ, yes, in you personally, but also in us collectively as a church. Yes, I say unto you, Open Door Baptist Church has a reputation in this community. And I saw Pastor Stewart's brother recently, and he said, he goes, well, congratulations on being the pastor. And he said this jokingly. He said, why don't you keep the church the way you found it? I thought that was funny. Basically to say, hey, don't break it. Pretty good advice, amen? But it's not just my responsibility, folks. It's all our responsibility. This is the body of Christ. And this reflects, everything we do reflects on Jesus. You say, well, that's a little extreme or an exaggeration. Well, go ask the unbelievers, you know, out in the community. And when they see us misbehaving or doing something foolish or sinful, you know, all of a sudden, what do they say? Well, that's those Christians for you. Or, you know, I knew all that stuff in the Bible was fake and, you know, all sorts of things. We are fueling their unbelief. But maybe we can do the opposite. We can present an answer for their skepticism. My brother-in-law, people would say, he always had this answer. People would say, oh, there's hypocrites in the church. So I don't go there, is what people would say to him. And he has a real dry sense of humor. And he would say, well, do you go to the grocery store? There are hypocrites there too, you know. And you know, the person would say, oh, yeah, I never thought of it like that. Oh, there are hypocrites everywhere. But why don't we do this? Why don't we live in a way that people look at this church and they don't believe that they do believe, obviously, that there are imperfect people here, but that we're not all hypocrites. That we walk the walk and talk the talk as much as we can. So also is Christ. This not only... Well, in Matthew 18, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This isn't just about the authority of Jesus. This is about the abiding presence of God in the midst of the gathering of saints. I believe that. This is a holy moment. This is why we get gussied up. I mean, you know, we come to church, and if you choose to wear a tie and a coat, fine, or a dress, that's fine. But, I mean, I hope you wear something a little nicer than sitting in the living room. Let's just leave that as a standard, right? That I at least comb my hair and I say to myself, I am going to meet with God. So I prepare myself in some way. Becoming a believer and uniting with the people of God, the church, it's seen as one and the same. And I won't take time to read it, but in Acts chapter 5, it says, Acts 5:14, I won't read the whole section, but it says, believers were the more added unto the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Believers were added to the Lord, it said, which is an interesting perspective. You sort of, if you read fast, you run over it. But you're added to the family of God. You're added to the Lord, right? Consider the reality of our one body status. We are one, yes, both universally with the church and locally. Universally, we don't create the church when we join together. The church already exists. Look at verse 13. It says, we are baptized into one body. It's a reference to the pre-existent universal church. It's already there. We are brought into it by the testimony. You can say baptism. Our spiritual baptism is what I would rely on for this verse. Colossians chapter 1 says, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's a reference to the universal church. In the New Testament, the local church is most often referenced. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, right? So that's a local church. The local church is visible and tangible and active. The universal church, let's face it, a little hard to see, right? The local church, you can see the local church, can't you? You say, oh, you're a member of that church all the time. I talk to people, I'll hand someone a tract or I'll say, you know, I'm a member of Open Door Baptist Church. And you know what they always say? Oh, yeah, that church. You know, right near McDonald's, it's always McDonald's, right? Where are you in relation to McDonald's? Oh, yeah, right, you go to McDonald's. I always say the Citrus Tower, you know, just 3.5 miles north is the Citrus Tower on the right is what I always say. You can tell it's like a script for me. And people, oh, yeah, I pass by that church all the time. I pass by that church all the time. And you know what? We'll leave the light on for you. Seriously, we are here. And when they drive by, guess what they see? They see cars. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And Harvest Fest and all the other times, VBS that we do stuff. We have the little dancing yellow man out there and all that, the signs and all that. There's always some thing going on. They can tell, oh, the Christians are active again. Well, yeah, we are. Come join us. This is a definition. This is from Dr. George Rundle. This is his definition of the church. It's rather long, you would think, Dr. Rundle, right? Here's the definition. A company of regenerated persons who unite themselves voluntarily together within a specific community in accordance with Christ's commands for the purpose of communicating the gospel, evangelism, and spiritual growth and holy living, discipleship. Isn't that great? It's a very thorough definition, technically, of what the church is. It is one body. We're not only joined with Christ, but we're, and this is really encouraging, I hope you find this encouraging, we're joined together as brothers and sisters. Now, growing up, in the church tradition I was in, we didn't call each other brother and sister, it was just you went to church, right? But I learned these Baptists, they kind of refer to each other, hey, Brother Jones, and hey, Sister Smith, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, it kind of, I don't know, it kind of catches on. You know, it's fun to use that terminology. But listen where it comes from. It says, Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Isn't that great? We're joined together. We are brothers and sisters. We have a spiritual bond. Yes, you have familial bonds. You have genetic bonds with people. But I'm telling you, the spiritual bonds are special, aren't they? The Spirit bears witness of Himself. And there's just something about having that family connection with other believers in Christ. We are one body. Point number two, moving into verse 14. One body, but many members. He says it, for the body is not one member, but many. And then he goes into this foot-hand thing, and it's a little irony, right? And maybe he's smiling when he's writing this, I suppose. But it is very illustrative of this body having relations with itself, you know, the hand and the head talking to each other. And we don't think of it in those terms. And what they're saying here is, I'm not of the body. I am not the hand. I'm not of the body. It almost sounds like jealousy. Everybody wants to be the eye. Everybody wants to be the head or the hand, right? Doing all these special things. No one wants to be the kneecap. Who wants to be the kneecap? You know, raise your hand if you want to be. No one wants to be the kneecap, you know. And so he goes through this, but the point he's making is this many members. The many members suggests multiple purposes and activities in the church. And if you only get one thing from this message, this is what I want you to get. Because you make this church what it is. You know, listen, it's not, you say, well, we have a pastor, and then whatever he, and then, you know, he's the church. He's our leader. I'm not a cruise director, folks, okay? And I appreciate the fact that you appreciate me. But the church is only as good as it is because of you. You make a difference in the church. You make this a loving church. You make this an exciting church. You say, hey, time to go to church. Time to go to church. Or, it's time to go to church. I mean, what are you thinking when you go to church? I'm just asking. I mean, I know, listen, we all get up on the wrong side of the bed. We all have our days. But in general, what are you thinking? I'm thinking, there's a whole bunch of people I'm going to interact with. I think, personally, I think church is fun. I was actually questioned by a number of people when I first got saved. And they literally said to me, we'll see how long this lasts, Tom. Okay, it started in 1990. What's the tally now, you know? It's still going. And listen, I enjoy church. I always have. There's multiple purposes. Think about some of the reasons why we join together. I want to show you in the outline here. There's a number of them, but letter A, let me do my clicker thing. We join together for worship. I'm going to go quickly, so if you want to write a few things down, you obviously you can. We'll leave this up so you can get some of the notes. But we join for worship, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's church. It says we don't forsake the assembling. That means we go to church, right? As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Did you catch that last part? Because churches, a lot of Baptist churches, a lot of good Baptist churches, I mean good theologically, are saying, well, we don't have enough people on Wednesday night, so we'll just cancel the services and we'll just do Sunday morning. They're canceling services, folks. But in Hebrews 10:25, it says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the day's closer since the day he wrote this. So what we ought to have is we ought to have more services, not less. Listen, where's the number, pray tell, Mr. Preacher Guy who cancels services? Sorry for looking at you, Pastor Jeff. I just happen to be looking this way. I'll look this way. So, you who are canceling services, pray tell, where is the number where it's... Listen to me. What's the number where it's worth having a service? Right? I mean, if you have this much, apparently it's okay to have a service. But if you have this many, it's not okay to have the service. Where's the dividing line? So now you know what you're doing? You are saying, these people aren't valuable enough to even hold a service. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if one person shows up to a service in this church, for all the services, we will stay open and we will have services. Why? Because it says we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's just what we do. And I'm not as much complaining about others as I am saying steadfastly, this is what we're planning on doing. We gather for worship. B, we gather for the ordinances. We're going to do that tonight. We're going to enjoy an ordinance together. It's very personal. We don't do this, of course, because we're an industrial nation and we have cute little bread that they cook and they box and they ship and they do all that. But in the old days, right, when you did communion, you know what you did? You had a loaf of bread. Now, picture the picture that we're talking about here. You had a loaf of bread and you broke a piece off and you handed it to someone. Isn't that a beautiful picture? This is communion. We are part of that bread of life. And when we ingest the bread, we now together are almost like picturing the fact that we are one because we have broken off. See how beautiful that is? In Luke 22, it says, and he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body. This is my body. This is my body, the bread. This is my body, the church. Amen? C, we gather for discipleship and discipline. In 1 Corinthians 6, he's correcting them because they don't know how to discern, apparently, according to Paul. And in verse 5, he says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? See, nowadays in our culture, people don't want anyone to... I literally had someone who the husband was engaging in marital counseling. And this has been some time ago. These people don't go to this church, and most of you don't know these people. The point is that the husband was receiving marital counseling. And as I was talking to him, I said, well, maybe we should have your wife come and we'll meet together. And the wife said, I don't want to be part of that. And I said, I told them, I really feel like it's important for both of you to be here. And the wife said, I don't want anyone to know my private life is my life. I don't want anyone to know about it. And I understand that feeling of privacy, but folks, listen, when you need help, you need to talk to people. And who do you trust except your brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, we have to be found trustworthy, and if someone confides in you, I adjure you by the name of God that you need to keep it private. If someone trusts you, let them trust your word. This is between you and me. You're sharing. This is an honorable position to have. And this individual wasn't willing to do that. Here, the discipleship and discipline is something that is very personal. But we have to allow ourselves to be subject to it. We have to allow ourselves to come into the church and allow the church to do this. And it is right and it is biblical. D for doctrine. That worked out nicely. D for doctrine, right? 2 Timothy 2, he says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preaching is for the communication and for the teaching of doctrine. Sometimes the word doctrine itself sounds dry. I think doctrine is exciting, you know. And so even Pastor Farringer mentioned it Wednesday night. He delineated between preaching and teaching, and there's a fair delineation there. Preaching tends to be exhortational, whereas teaching tends to be doctrinal. The dividing line, most preachers don't really know where that dividing line is, right? But as we preach, as we teach, we are communicating doctrine, and that's what God wants you to know. We gather also E for ministry giving. In 1 Corinthians 16:1, he talks about the collection for the saints. And in verse 2, he talks about the first day of the week, let him lay in store as God hath prospered him. The tithing happens. It's part of our worship. It's part of what we do as a church. These tithes and offerings are for the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, the spread of the gospel through all nations. We talk about our faith promise giving, right? All that happens in the church. It doesn't mean online giving is bad. It just means we as a church, we gather, and these monies for the ministry are all collected together, and we have the trustees and the deacons. The trustees meet and they count. They have a whole process that they go through, and the way the men handle it, it's like it's a holy process. It's God's money for God's purposes. We gather for ministry giving. F for brotherly love's sake. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, he says, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And folks, that's one of the reasons why we meet together. It gives us the opportunity to be in each other's presence. How can you love someone from afar? I mean, I know that we have the need very often for the broadcast, and folks have to stay at home, and there's lots of needs that way. But it's not for the purpose of convenience. Because convenience, if that's how we handle church, it will interrupt this love transaction that takes place. It's hard for me to love you from afar. I mean, I just, you know, Carl and I were just before the service, I sat down and we were just talking and you were just having a really nice time. And yeah, I can call him on the phone. But I don't know, there's something about shaking a guy's hand, saying how you're doing, and just even the small talk. I mean, don't you like that? I'm sorry, that was kind of a lame response. Don't you like that? And when Frankel gives a hug, I just, you know, there's just something about that, you know. And I say, I love you. And he says, I love you more. You know, this is love. And when people come in, folks, when people come into this church, you don't know what they're coming from. And, you know, and when I'm gloomy and someone comes in with an issue and I gloomily look at them and go, huh, you know, well, great. That doesn't communicate the love that I know is a priority. What I have to do, if I can say it this way, when I come to church, I got to get my game face on. I got to gird up my loins and realize there are hurting people that are coming into this church. And now is the time. Now is the place. Now is the opportunity to say, how are you doing? And the person says, oh, I'm doing fine. And then that person with that special insight says, like Mrs. Neuschwanger, she can look right through you. She's got those X-ray eyes. And then she says, no, how are you doing? And then you melt and you go, oh, Mrs. Neuschwanger, you know, how do you know? But that can't happen over the phone. G, to remember each other in prayer. We focus on this Wednesday nights. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That happens when we gather. Yes, you can pray at home. Yes, absolutely. But we pray here also, don't we? Our Sunday school classes, we take prayer requests. That's a good process of knowing what's happening in people's lives. I know in our Sunday school class, Brother Darrell, he has a list. And he goes through and he says, hey, these are some requests that I already know. And he asks people, so how's your brother-in-law doing? Oh, what's that thing going on? And so you can tell he keeps that list and he's looking at it, right? So this is part of love. This part of the fellowship of the saints. It's part of the body. I need to flip my screen here. To aid in sickness and distress. Peter in 1 Peter 3 says, be ye all of one mind. It sounds like this one body, doesn't it? We're joined together corporately as one body. He says, one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You know, that's bearing one another's burdens. I know that can't happen a lot of times on a Sunday. There's rush and there's, you know, things going on and such. But you know, like I just told someone today, I said, hey, let's have lunch this week. And we made lunch. We're having lunch at Cracker Barrel on Wednesday. Yes, if you want to join us, be at Cracker Barrel on Wednesday at 11:30. I'm going to be there. You can find out who I made a lunch appointment with. And if you want to pay, come right on along. After you make that little, hey, let's plan, well, then now you can continue the conversation and talk about deeper things, right? And you can get into deeper things like sickness and distress and this pity that we need to share and the courteousness, right? To cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy of speech. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This is flowing now, doesn't it? It's just making sense. Because all of these things are so associated one with another, but they are distinct because these are things that the body does within itself. And you say, well, this is a long list, Pastor Farley. Well, yeah, go to your doctor's office and say, what is my body doing right now? Well, it's processing these sugars and it's doing... You know what your body, your physical body is doing right now? Our physical bodies are an outright miracle. The stuff they do. And it's constantly processing. The hypothalamus that we have, that's that little, they call it the lizard brain that's in the back of your brain, right? And it's just always, you know, heartbeat, heartbeat, breathe in and out, in and out. And it's just constantly working, constantly. You don't even think about it. Maybe we could take a hint, Paul's hint, and think, maybe that's like the church. And there is always something going on here. Have you come by the church during the week? It's kind of an exciting place. People are delivering things and calling Miss Kathy and coming by. And we talk and we meet. A fellow came by the other day and I sat in the foyer and talked to him. Another person. This is really interesting. Dwayne Roberts was working and I think it was a guy on a motorcycle. Like crashed or something. Right before the church. And he came up to the church limping. And now I have a card for him. We're going to call and follow up with him and just, you know, chat with him. Things go on here at physically at the church, but they're supposed to go on continually within the body. What are we on now? Well, we're on J, to practice biblical forbearance and forgiveness. Colossians 3, we are to be forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. When I was pastoring in North Carolina, I kid you not, this is literally, there's no exaggeration in this. There were two families in the church that were literally at war with one another. And they, and I'm sad to say, they hated one another. One sat, I'm sorry, Nancy, I'm pointing right past you here, okay? On the fourth row on the left. The other family sat on the fourth row on the right. Yes, they sat on the same row in the front, both of them. And whenever I was preaching, I could see both families at all times. It was really weird. And I don't understand. Well, I do understand why they hated one another. They hated one another. Folks, we get to practice forbearance. We get to practice forgiveness within the context of the church. And parent, what do you do when your kids practice something and they don't get it right? What do you make them do? You make them do it over. And if you fail the fifth grade, what do? You take it again. And when you don't pass the test, what do? You take it again. And if you can't forgive, what does God do? He makes you sit on the fourth row with the people you can't forgive. And he says, look down the road. No, I won't. Look down the road. No, I won't. And I don't have a victory here. But we have that opportunity every time we come together. And then finally, K, for the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Our salvation is a reconciliation where God has reconciled us through Christ to God. Okay, so we are reconciled. We are made one again. And he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that beautiful? He reconciled us to God. Then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that job? To bring people together. Well, Pastor Farley, didn't you do anything about those two people on the fourth row? Oh, yes! I had a ministry of reconciliation, and I constantly was trying to push them, not physically push them down, but drive them one to another. They would have nothing of it. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, is it reconciling friends? Sure. But the reconciliation, too, is a reconciliation of salvation. It's the gospel, right? We are one body with many members arranged by God with so many activities constantly happening at one time. So, folks, I don't want you then. Now, where this rubber meets the road is very often, and I don't hear it here, but you hear it in general in church talk. It's like, our church needs to do more. Well, like what? Well, we need to have a Southern Gospel Concert, and we need to sell tickets, and we need to do that. And, you know, my response might be, well, that's a good idea. But, you know, our church is already doing stuff. Well, you know, all that stuff. We need to have a fishing trip, or we need to have a hunting trip, or we need to go to, you know, the Grand Canyon, or whatever. Well, sir, well, ma'am, maybe it's just stuff you want to do. The church is already doing things, and these things are spiritual in nature, granted. But all these things are good, and they're happening all the time in the church. Avail yourself of what is happening already in the church. Amen? Point number three, the body is arranged by God's will. Look in verse 18. We're in verse 18 through 20. But now hath God set the members, every one, in the body as it hath pleased him. Well, I remember joining the church. Was it my will or was it God's will? Yeah, that's how it works. That's how God's sovereignty and the will and the free will of man works. Was it me or was it God? Yes. That's the answer. He set you. I can say by virtue of verse 18, if you're a member of this church, if you're pursuing membership in this church, God set you here. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they, many members, yet but one body. So he's saying God has placed these here together. It's the Lord who arranges and equips the church to accomplish his will on earth. Acts 2:47 says this. They were praising God. This is the activity of the church. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God added to the church. Well, I thought I was supposed to go out and add people to the church. Well, you're supposed to be friendly. Yeah, you're supposed to invite people to the church. But you realize is that God himself is doing this work. We are co-laborers with God. He's not some far-off deity that doesn't care about what we're going through. It doesn't care about this church specifically. Do you realize how much of a compliment it is for this church to be called the body of Christ? It's a big compliment. That means, you know, think about your own body. You say, well, I got this ache right here. And, you know, I got my lumbago is acting up and, you know, that sort of thing. You know about your body. In fact, I had this thing with my tooth recently, and it was sort of bothering me. Of course, my wife is like, oh, it's nothing. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to feel bad for me? You know, and so I got my CT scan or whatever it is, and guess what happened? They said it was nothing, so she was right. But that's what we do, don't we? We check things out and we ask the doctor about this. And you know your body. You think the Lord doesn't know his body? You don't think the Lord checks on his body? This isn't my analogy. This is Paul's analogy. This is the Holy Spirit's analogy. And it's a direct one-to-one comparison, folks. God is checking on his body right now. Can I show you an arrangement of the body? For in Ephesians 4, he talks about giving gifts for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 says. The giving of gifts for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Let me show you this chart here. And I hope this is not too overwhelming. But these are all of the Open Door Baptist Church ministries. Now, I apologize if I missed one here. I really tried to get everything. And they are arranged in these categories. Now, let me just share with you the different categories, because I think it is right to sort of categorize these and help us to think about them. On the far left, I would call them congregation-wide ministries. Like, for instance, Sunday school. That's for everybody, you know, right? How about music? Well, that's for everybody engages in these things, right? It's not specific to one sort of demographic group, right? So this is congregation-wide ministries. Disciplines in the second column. These are things that the church does. Now, these would probably fall more in the category of what we just looked at in the Scriptures. Outreach, inreach, evangelism, evangelism and discipleship. Those are the big ones. Those are the big pillars of the church, right? But you have counseling and fellowship is a thing, right? I mean, that's something the church does and it's valuable. So these are the disciplines. Then you have what I refer to as segment ministries. Like, for instance, we're calling it men's fellowship. This is the men's ministry, right? And who gets to go to that ministry? Men, right? Well, this is a segment of our church, and it ministers to men. How about the ladies' seed ministry, right? That's these are the two ministries I just referred to. So it ministers uniquely to men and ladies. Then you have the prime timers. You have these the deep dive Bibles. So we're going to talk about some of these. But these are all segment ministries that refer to a certain subgroup of the congregation. Then you have what you refer to as operations. And I don't want you to discount these. These would be church-wide, but these are ministries, and they are ministries, that support the operation of the church. See where it says nursery? Folks, we wouldn't survive without the nursery. That's all there is to it. The sound booth? We wouldn't survive without the sound booth. You know, and all of these, ushers, greeters, security, maintenance. You look at these and you say, well, that's not a ministry. I beg to differ. Because they make this church operate. We probably could add to the operations many different, but that's at least a start for us. What I wanted to do on this one, you see the little box here, is I'm going to be able to announce for the first time one is a restart, one is a brand new ministry. Prime Timers is a ministry that we have had in the past, and some of you may remember that. But we are restarting Prime Timers, and I'm proud for the first time publicly to announce that Chris and Rhonda Humphrey will be heading up the new Prime Timers ministry. Isn't that wonderful? So praise the Lord for that. They told me that they're going to have a kickoff meeting. I think they were talking about what it was like a cover dish together. So seniors, Brother Chris and Rhonda, they'll be announcing that. And just the same way we announce everything, we'll be letting you know and putting out sign-up sheets and that sort of thing. So that's actually, for me, that's very exciting. And what does that minister to? That ministers to our seniors. There's a lot of ministry that goes on within that. The second is this deep dive Bible study series. And let me just tell you two stories here. A couple of years ago, we had the Open Door Baptist Church Bible, Open Door Bible Institute. Open Door, ODBB, Open Door Baptist Bible Institute. That was it. And so I had to just say it. Okay. Anyway, we met down in the Sunday school building, met at night. It was like Thursday nights or something, hours, right? And when I came back to the church, Pastor Stewart and Pastor Doug Lay were teaching classes and such. And a lot of you that are here went through many of the classes. And at the time, we had a lot of ladies who said, Pastor Stewart, hey, can ladies come to the class? And Pastor Stewart's answer was, well, this is really preparing men for the ministry, so we're just going to keep it for men at this moment. And so it was really focused on men. Then, fast forward a couple years, we had what's known as Ladies' Bible Study. And guess who was invited to that? Ladies. And guess who wasn't invited to that? Men. So we've had these deep dives in the past, and some of them for men and some of them for ladies. But this deep dive that we're calling it, we're rolling this out, and we are inviting everybody. It's going to be for men and ladies. And the idea is the format that we've sort of, well, that Pastor Farringer has really perfected with, and Miss Wanda, this online format with the handouts and such things, we're still going to do that. It's still going to be, if you do it at home, you can do it online. If you come here on a specific day, you know, I think it was Tuesdays, and we may keep that, or, you know, we'll announce it and let you know. But we'll do a Bible series like just like that. So it's similar to the format of the ladies' Bible study, but it's going to be for everybody, and it's going to be taught by the pastors. What we plan on doing is using the same curriculum that we use in India, that we use in Haiti, and you'll get a book and you go through it. And so I'm actually really excited about that. I think that's going to be wonderful. So these two ministries are new and very exciting. I wanted to just talk to you about the segment ministries for a little bit. Men's Fellowship consists of men and young men of the congregation sharpening each other in work, fellowship, and discipleship. One thing that they're working on is what sort of loosely called elder care, which is if we have a widow or an elder in the congregation who needs work, that we are going to, and Johnny Davis Sr. is the coordinator for this. We're going to announce it soon with a little handout and flyer and explain the process. But if you are a senior and you say, hey, my garbage disposal is broken, I need someone to come fix it, then, you know, we will assign it and send someone and take care of that. And that's very exciting. Now, that's an activity or an action that comes out of men's fellowship. What typically comes out of men's fellowship is like men's prayer breakfast and that sort of thing. So this is a group that's doing different things as God leads. Amen. Ladies' seed ministry is similar, just in with the ladies. A seed stands for service, encouragement, events, and discipleship. These is ladies ministering to ladies. And they've already have a calendar. And I thought about putting that up, but we want to have a handout, like a little flyer for the ladies in the months to come, weeks to come, to show from month to month what's going to be happening in the future with different events and discipleship opportunities. Prime Timers is a senior ministry featuring activities and events promoting involvement and support. So this is primarily, really, you call it a fellowship organization, as it were. But, you know, discipleship and other outreach, in-reach, that all happens there. So the disciplines are happening within the context of this. Well, I'm going to show this to you in a second, how it all works, okay? The Deep Dive Bible Study we talk about, Youth Group, Open Door Kids Club, you're very familiar with those. And so we understand those segments. Let me put this together for you and show you how all this interacts. Because the point here is, and I want you to understand this, that Pastor Farley doesn't do everything, right? I mean, you already knew that. But what I'm trying to help us to understand is, you know, whether it's Pastor Farley or all the pastors or all the pastors and deacons and trustees, you have gifts that have been given to you from God. And it is incumbent upon the leadership of the church to create opportunities for the church, listen to me, to use the spiritual gifts that God has given to you and engage them in the local church. See, this is the process. Now, if we as leaders don't, if we're not doing our job, we're not setting these things up, we're not giving you the opportunity. But no ministry happens if you don't make it happen. No ministry happens if I don't. We're all members of one body. And God has called each one of us to use our gifts. Sure, we can't Harry Carey go around and say, oh, I'm going to start a ministry here in the foyer and I'm going to be doing a Bible study while Pastor Farley's preaching. It's okay, stop. We don't want to do that. We want to be coordinated. And you'll see that here in just a moment. Here, I'm just using a senior female as an example. Okay, now we're going to choose from the lists of different ministries. Here's a discipline. This particular person is very interested in discipleship. I want to be discipled and I want to avail myself of different discipleship opportunities. So this person signs up for the Deep Dive Bible Study. She signs up for Lady Seed Ministry and she's very faithful to the weekly services. Now you see how all these things, they don't interact with each other, but they overlap, and this isn't a precise, Brother George, this isn't exactly precise, but you'll forgive me. These things don't overlap with each other necessarily, but she is engaging in all these different ministries. Isn't this interesting? And what's she receiving the whole time? Discipleship from all these different places. Now you start adding things. Now there's events and fellowship. Now this has nothing to do with discipleship, but she's receiving something as she goes to the spring picnic, as she attends the harvest fest. You see this? So this is more time and attention that she's giving and more opportunities that other people have to provide ministry for this person. Now you add the primetimers. Now the primetime, you see, primetimers overlaps events in fellowship because they're having these events. They have these, so this is an event. But also the primetimers are doing other things, maybe calling her on the phone to say, hey, how are you doing today? A little bit of in-reach there. So now this person, because she has availed herself, she's receiving a good bit of ministry, isn't she? If she doesn't avail herself, does she receive any of this? So you have to sign up for it. You have to avail yourself, because we're not going to break into your house and minister to you, right? I mean, we're not going to come and force it upon you. This is a free will transaction. You come and you avail yourself. There's some in-reach too. Now, this particular senior female, what she decided, and she went to the pastor and said, is it okay with you? And this is the process. Is it okay with you if I send birthday cards to people in the congregation? And I say, well, tell me about this. How do you plan on doing this? Well, I have these cards, and they're going to have little Bible verses on them. And I'm just, and I say, I love it. Do you need help? Do you need postage? Here's a list of the addresses for people in the church. Because why? This person's going to go down the list and is going to send you a birthday card on your birthday. Is that encouraging? Yes, it is. Right now, folks, we have three ladies in our congregation that do that. So this is an in-reach that this particular woman has, and this isn't a real person, but I'm just saying demographically, this is what this person can do. Now, she's not part of security. She doesn't sing in the choir. So these ministries, although she benefits from them, she's not involved with them. See how that works? Now, let's try it again. Here's an adult male. Oh, and I didn't read the top. Church ministries are designed to provide overlapping support to the congregation. So all these ministries, they overlap, don't they? And so the person gets discipleship from here, but they also get discipleship from there. But we all have to be faithful, don't we? Each ministry is a unique mix for each person, and it contributes to the member's spiritual support system. Remember, we're talking about the body. That's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12. And so the body has all these systems that provide nourishment. Listen, this is Paul's picture, folks, not mine. The member receives nourishment and support from these systems in the body, right? And because this member's part of the body, it comes naturally. Because we're all individuals, it doesn't come as naturally for us. We have to avail ourselves. So this adult male, he wants fellowship and discipleship, so he avails himself of the Sunday school. He attends Sunday school and weekly services to see how they overlap themselves. What else does he do? Well, he joined the men's fellowship, and he wants to do stuff, so he gets some of his fellowship and discipleship from that as well. What about the music? He decided to join the choir, and so he's doing that too. And I'll tell you what, does discipleship come out of the choir? Yes. Do you get fellowship in the choir? Oh, yeah, I hear they have a big rip-roaring time over there in the choir. So there's a lot of nice fellowship, and you learn to meet folks and all that kind of stuff. That's all part of that. What else does he do? Well, he decided to sign up for the sound booth, and he comes and volunteers doing maintenance from time to time. You know, and the thing that's not perfect here is he gets a little fellowship from sound booth and maintenance, because when you do stuff, you meet people, don't you? You work in the sound booth and you meet the other guys and you interact with them. It's all part of the church, folks. Just because you're not having a Bible and an outline doesn't mean you're not doing ministry. It's all ministry. He's not part of Lady Seed. He's not part of Junior Church. Although his wife and his children might be, but just not him, right? One more. It's not possible or needful for each member to engage in every ministry. I had to come to grips with this as a pastor. Because you have a little activity, you expect everyone to show up. It's not realistic for that to happen for a lot of different reasons. But each ministry must be mindful of the congregation's limited resources of time and attention. What we try to do is, with the church calendar, is not have something going on Monday, something going on Wednesday, something going on Thursday, where everyone says, we're going to have to stay home. We're actually mindful of how often we ask folks to provide food for different things. when we say, hey, we got a sign-up sheet for this or that, or bring some food, we try to be mindful and not ask you to bring food to different and sundry things all the time. That's important to us. Each person must prayerfully consider in what ministries to serve or participate. This young teenage female, she wants to go to the deep dive Bible study, but she's running out of time. Look what she's doing. She's in the choir. She goes to the service. She's in junior. She is part of junior church. She goes to Sunday school. She's part of the youth group. She is a part of Lady Seed Ministry. But maybe she sat down with her parents and said, Mom and Dad, you know, I really want to go to the deep dive Bible study, but the Lady Seed Ministry happens. And maybe the parents said, you know what, honey, I think it might be better for you to be part of the mentorship program than go to the, you can do the deep dive some other time. You see how you make decisions like this? And see, these are decisions that you and I have to make because our time and our resources are limited. And we as a church, we try to balance these things so everyone can take part in all of these different ministries. But the attention here is to the body as one organism, all with these different systems that are working together to get what? Evangelism, discipleship, nourishment. The idea, before we go to point number four, the idea here is that all of these gifts are for the work of the ministry and for the perfecting of the saints. And what you have seen, all that list of ministry, most of them are led and conducted by not the pastors, by you. Because you're gifted, you're needed, you are loved, you are appreciated. Point number four. Each member is made to be necessary and honored. This is what he's saying in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. So there's all of these members of the body are important to the body. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That's an important word. They only seem to be feeble, but the Bible calls them necessary. The Greek word means indispensable. Now look at verse 23. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And so he's talking about care for these particular members. And he says, and therefore our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, this tends to be a little confusing, but let's see if we can clear this up. Of the human body, the uncomely parts, as he's mentioning here in the latter part of verse 23, are those parts that need more attention. You know, like brushing your teeth. I thought maybe I could skip brushing my teeth, but everybody tells me I shouldn't do that, right? I'm just kidding. I didn't think that. But you know how that is, right? If I don't take a shower, then people around me are going to notice that. If I eat tacos, I don't know what it is about tacos and red onions. It just, I don't want to gross anybody out, but it gives me body odor, okay? I'm being serious here. Okay, and so if I eat at a Mexican restaurant, I know that, you know, it's just the way it's going to be. And so I know this about my body personally. And what do? I clip my nails, right? I brush my teeth. There are parts of our bodies that we have to take care of. I don't remember the last time I took care of my elbow. I don't do anything for my elbow. See, the uncomely parts need more attention. In the same way, some in the church have greater needs, and thus they require more love, they require more forbearance. See, this is what Paul is actually talking about. The members of the church that require more forbearance, they require more time and attention. You can't say, oh, that guy, he's always causing trouble. He's always, you know, I spend more time with that guy than anybody else. Oh, maybe God wants me to spend more time with that guy. maybe that guy is an uncomely part, that in this season in his life, he just needs a little love. He needs some advice. He needs some intention. He needs it from you. Listen, this is the problem with our culture, is we are so addicted to convenience that when we get to the church and we come in contact with an inconvenient, uncomely person, we don't want any part of it. I'm sorry. They're here for you and you're here for them. Amen? These are the uncomely parts. They need more time and attention. For instance, widows are what I call a special object of God's grace in the church. Widows are a special, if I can say it this way, I don't mean this as a negative, widows are a special possession of the church. And I mean possession in terms of it is our responsibility. We have to see our widows and pray for them and help them. And when a widow calls me up and says, I need help with thus and so, I'm sorry, I'm answerable to God for that. I believe that is the role of the church. He calls them widows indeed, is what Paul refers to them as. Barnes in his notes says this, of these uncomely parts, God makes it necessary that we should labor in order to obtain for it, the uncomely part, needful clothing, he says, thus making it more the object of our attention and care. The more abundant honor, therefore, refers to the greater attention, labor, and care which we bestow upon those parts of the body. Isn't that great? God knows there are some people in the church that just need a little more help than others, and that's all part of God's plan. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need. These are the comely means honorable, but don't be distracted by this. Paul says it this way, and I think if you connect, you might make actually, if I were you, I would write on a little note on the side of your Bible by verse 24, Romans 15, 1. Then we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. God made you strong to help the weak. That's why you're strong. I'm strong as an American because I just want to consume it upon my own lust, the Bible might say. But that's not why God made me strong. God made me strong to help the weak. Specifically, the weak, the uncomely members of the body. But God, latter part of verse 24, God hath tempered the body. I love that word, tempered. It's like He's actually constructing it or welding it or something, you know, fashioning it. He hath tempered the body together and given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. To temper is to assimilate, to combine. In verse 28, he says, God hath set some in the church. Same idea. He's setting these things. He's assembling them. God directs us to minister to those who are in need. And the honor of the ministry, the need is brought to that which is lacking, the uncomely part. Point number 5, and I hurry. Why did God arrange the body in such a way? Point number 5, why this arrangement? Just so I can light it up there, right? Why this arrangement? Verse 25, that there should be no schism or division in the body, that the members would have the same care one for another. And then finally, the gifts for edification, and that's how he closes it out. God has set some in the church for all these purposes. Folks, this is as the body is constructed. It's for this purpose. So that there be no schism, that we have a united body together. Amen?